Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What's your favorite dole?
651-641-1071.
Dole?
That's what we're talking about here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. I'm the Colleen. That's the Bradley.
I'm Bradley.
Was that your impression?
Hi, I'm Bradley.
That's actually Colleen. I'm the Bradley. That's the Holly. And Colleen is asking, she's got a question for you to weigh in on, 651-641-1071. What's your favorite dough and batter to eat raw? Why are we talking about dodos?
Because who doesn't want to eat the dough? I was just thinking yesterday about... I was thinking about how, like, we were talking about pancakes yesterday. People got real animated about their pancakes.
Rightly so.
I get it, but I was like, have you ever tried a big mouthful of pancake batter? It's not a good one. It's never
That's
good.
That's nasty.
Who would eat that?
But it made me think about all the other things that you like to lick the spoon and like eat while you're making.
Yeah.
And do not at me about the risk of eating raw dough or batter. I'm not interested.
Yeah, this is one area where Colleen is going to throw science out the window.
I just don't care. I'm like, so tell me.
Give me that salmonella.
What's your favorite dough or batter to eat? 651-641-1071. My daughter likes to make edible cookie dough, which does not have eggs, and you have to cook the flour.
Oh, okay.
And it's good. But nothing holds a candle to just good old-fashioned chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yeah, and there's risks in life, and this is a risk I'm comfortable with. Right?
Like, you'll take the trots for the good.
For the good dough. For the record, and I'm not asking the trots to visit South Minneapolis this weekend, but
no, thank
you. I have never had explosive issues eating raw cookie dough or brownie batter.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Or at least you didn't know that that's what it was. I will say brownie batter is also fantastic. I did some grocery shopping recently. We had needed some treats at our house. We needed something to, like, we had some feelings we needed to eat. I thought, let's try a new treat. I found these little dough bites that are edible dough.
Okay.
That are just like, they're like little they're chocolate covered. And there's like a chocolate covered cookie dough bite.
Okay.
And then there's a chocolate covered brownie batter bite.
Okay.
And then I got two little tiny single serving like cookie dough. And you can get all different flavors.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, welcome to this whole new world where not only do you get to eat the dough, but you have it made for you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You can buy it by the pint. Let's go to Trish. Trish is on the line and she wants to weigh in on our dough-versation. No, I'll work on that. Anyway, hey, Trish, what's your feeling about raw cookie dough or batter?
Hi, guys. Happy Friday. I agree with Colleen. It's just got to be the old school chocolate chip cookie dough. Yeah. I don't want your edible cookie dough. Just, you know, I'll take my chances with the raw eggs. Thank you very much.
Just throw caution to the wind.
Spin the wheel.
Yep.
Do you the thing that we used to do where you make half, you know, you eat half and make half, or do you just eat the whole thing? She's gone. So we'll move on to Tracy.
Okay.
She's busy eating
dough. I will say this. It is important when you're eating the dough to remember that one spoonful is a full cookie.
Yeah.
Because you can make yourself sick on that stuff.
Well, that's, you know, honestly, that's the main reason I avoid buying cookie dough, because I'm like, I'm going to just eat the whole thing. And I feel like that's a danger food, but not that I don't like it. I mean, I would eat the out of that. So, you know,
you can buy a single serving, though, which is great because then you don't have to practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Moderation. You just once it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. Exactly. Tracy's on the line. Let's go to Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
And find out. Hey, Trace, what's your dough situation?
Well, you know, you always have the typical chocolate chip cookie dough or whatever. But in our house, my mom always made homemade apple pies with homemade lard crust. And we would love to roll out the crust or roll out the dough and then sprinkle cinnamon and sugar on it.
Oh, sure.
And eat that. And it was so good.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like almost like sugar cookie dough or something, right?
Oh, no, way better.
Way better?
Oh, way better.
Really? I bet it was like kind of buttery.
What's
and
that
yummy.
Lard?
Exactly. Ooh. And with the cinnamon and sugar on top, it was just, yeah, very
yummy.
Good.
Yummy. Thanks for that,
so
Tracy.
Good. That's a good little tip too for pie making season.
Yeah. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie's on the line. Hey Debbie, what's your favorite dough or batter?
Well, I've always loved eating dough and batter since I was a kid. My mother almost encouraged it when she was baking. I make a cookie, it's chocolate chips, but it also has oatmeal, coconut and walnuts in it. Sometimes I make the cookies, under the guise of making cookies for my coworkers just so I can eat dough. But I don't necessarily want the cookies around the house because I love them so much. So I do bring them into work. But I've also been known to make a batch of dough and then portion it out and then freeze it. So then when I'm hungry for dough, I can just thaw out a portion. And when people have said, well, aren't you afraid you're going to get sick from, you know, the raw eggs and everything? And I'm like, well, that could maybe be a benefit because then I would be literally eliminating all of the calories that I've eaten with the dough.
I love the amount of thought you have given to dough.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. You're a true dough fan.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing. I literally didn't think we could go that deep on dough. We just did.
We did.
We doughed.
We did.
Yeah. Let's move on to Christine, who's been...
What do you think about that?
Well, okay. There we go with the dough puns. Let's... Do not tell me what to talk about. Christine has been patiently waiting. Christine, what's your dough sitch?
Oh, it's got to be the chocolate chip cookie dough and the brownie. I'm for both of them. Very hard to show restraint.
Yeah. Although
Although my brother and my sister, one time when we were kids, I came home from somewhere and they had made a whole batch of brownies. Well, the dough, and there was no brownies. They ate all the dough, and then they were very sick. So I just laughed at them, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel
yeah,
like...
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
You got to do it in moderation, Christine. Thank you so much for sharing. Colleen, when's the last time did you just make dough? Oh, yeah. Is that thing that you bought, have you made it yet?
No, huh? Okay. It's pre-made, but my daughter will just, when she's bored, make the edible cookie dough.
Oh, okay.
So like we often have like a tub of it in the refrigerator just for eating.
God, that's dangerous.
It's trouble. But again, here's the thing. It's good, but it doesn't taste like regular cookie dough. And so I tend to leave it alone, which is good. But when I do make brownies, which is not often, I intentionally undercook them because then in the middle, you get like the yumminess of the batter, but it's cooked enough that you're not going to get the trots. Yep.
At the end of the day,
for more tips.
Hey, do you guys want to live on the edge without getting the runs? Call the Colleen and Bradley Show. Let's go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is going to be our last word on cookie dough and brownie batter. What are you putting in your mouth, Elizabeth?
Okay, well, I really think that you guys should use the word trots more often because it goes well on the radio.
Right?
So the product I have is chocolate chip, of course, but at Sam's Club, they have this case of 8 little mini, like 3.5-inch cups of cookie dough. It's the kind you can eat. It comes with this little tiny spoon, so you feel like you're not eating a lot because the spoon is tiny, but you get like your own individual little cup. It's called the Cookie Dough Cafe. Pack of 8, sit in the refrigerator. You just take a little. It's the size of like a K-cup, kind of.
I love this.
Edible cookie dough, little spoon, you feel better about it.
I like that. I like that they're thinking about, you know, our portion control issues. Don't have to feel that naughty, right?
Yep. Cookie Dough Cafe.
They do it for you. When they do the work for you, we're happy.
Where do you get that again?
Sam's Club is where I see it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cookie Dough Cafe. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thanks to everyone who called. And Colleen, thank you, because now I just want cookie dough and I don't have any.
Sorry.
Rude.
I'll bring some back for you.
Okay. When we come back, actually, we are going to put something in our mouths, though, and it probably will be maybe as tasty. I don't know. We'll find out, because we've got a Cheat Day Friday right around the corner here on iTalk 107.1. What are we going to put in our mouths on this beautiful Friday here on the Colleen and Bradley Show? By the way, have you gotten your Project Down and Dirty tickets yet for Project Down and Dirty Construction? Head to mytalk1071.com, because right now we're going to tempt fate and our taste buds with a little Cheat Day Friday.
Dirty, rotten cheetah.
Cheat Day taste test.
Stick this in your mouth.
Ooh, what are we going to put in our mouth?
Yes, queen! It's spooky season! Ooh! M&M's. That's what I like to call them. M&M's. Otherwise known as M&M's. We have a new M&M flavor to try, kids.
Oh, boy!
And these glow in the dark, but only if you eat them.
So we're not going to be able to see the glow in the dark till later?
Yeah, it's about 7 hours from now.
Okay.
So this is going to be a follow-up segment.
Trots.
No, actually, it's not glow in the dark M&Ms. It's cookies and scream.
Oh, I thought they were really going to glow in the dark. I was excited.
Oh, I'm sorry. Holly was like,
poor Holly has her eyeball in the cup.
M&M people. Who makes M&Ms again?
Mars.
The M&M.
The planet people. Mars. Mars Wrigley Confectionery US LLC, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Get on it. We'd like some glow in the dark. Actually, you know who did do that? We'll get to our...
Do we want that? Do we really want to put something in our body that glows in the dark?
No, unless it was made with like that, you know, squid cells or something that glow in the dark, you know? But what I was going to say is, and we're going to try our Cookies and Scream M&Ms in mere moments on the Colleen and Bradley Show. We do this every Friday where we throw dietary caution to the wind. And try something yummy and tasty, and you can watch it on YouTube because we do a visual demonstration. Pringles had like a glow in the dark thing for Halloween, but it's just the can. And I was like,
good. That is a good thing.
I was like, that's a weird thing. Like, hey, for Halloween, let's come up with a glow in the dark can.
No, but I think that's genius, because if you are a person who maybe hides your food in dark spaces, it'll be easy to find.
True, true.
I'm just saying, like, if you, like, you know, are a nighttime snacker and you're rummaging around, you just look for the glowing can and then you can have all the Pringles you want.
It also helps if you're trying to find your special friend in the dark. They have a glowing can. Okay, let's move on to our Cookies and Scream M&Ms. Now, I don't know anything about these, Colleen, but... I imagine it tastes like cookies and cream.
Wow.
One would think.
But they look
one
like...
One would think if that's what they're selling, Holly, that it's going to taste like it. But Holly, they look like big balls of M&M's.
Yeah, they're kind of bigger. They're kind of like, I would say, the peanut butter M&M's.
That's what she said.
Right?
Hmm?
Holly would... Oh, Holly's actually eating them.
Well, she's all in. What is the inside
What is the inside? It's hard to see. It's very... Is it white?
It's white.
So is that the cream part?
I guess.
Is there like cookie bits or is the outside the cookie?
There's no cookie.
It's looking like the outside is the cookie and the inside is the cream. Mm.
I guess. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it tastes like cookies and cream. I mean, insofar as.
In an M&M.
I don't. Yeah, I think I would actually recognize that. It kind of tastes like. Like the middle of an Oreo, which I guess that's cookies and cream, right? That's the
that
vibe.
Would be the cream of the cookies and cream.
I just taste sugar.
Mm.
I can actually
Here's
taste
what
cookies
I'm learning.
And cream.
Here's what I'm learning about
M&M's. I'm concentrating. I'm trying to find it.
In my life, what I'm learning about M&M's is it doesn't matter the flavor of M&M. The hard candy shell always overpowers everything else.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's interesting. Our friend Panda on Twitter, she says, I have a bag of those. I was wildly disappointed. She said 1 out of 5.
Mm.
I'm getting some, like, you know, it almost tastes like chocolate cake and frosting.
Mm. Yeah, it's not bad, but I'm searching for the cookies and cream aspect, but otherwise it just tastes like a thick M&M. Which is good.
What do you got against thick M&Ms?
I don't. It's good.
I would eat those.
Again, the hard candy shell just makes it just taste like an M&M, like Holly said.
But you got to savor the flavor.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Flavor. You got to let it rest on the tongue, and then you got to do that thing that coffee drinkers do when they're working for coffee companies. Mm-hmm. You got to suck in some air.
You got to suck the air over it. Okay.
I mean, it happened.
You want to rate this?
I'm going to give this, in the grand scheme of M&M's, like a 3. I'm going to give it a 3. Yeah. Colleen?
I'm going to give it a solid 3.
Okay.
As well.
Right.
You know, listen, give me a peanut butter M&M. Give me a regular M&M. Give me a pretzel M&M.
Peanut butter M&M.
And I'm all in.
Yeah.
All other M&Ms are just M&Ms.
I will say, Holly, first of all, what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Okay, so 2.5 on the scale of Team Cobras for this Cheat Day Friday, Cookies and Scream M&M. If you find a bag in your house, don't be afraid of it. I ain't afraid of no M&Ms. Don't scream for Cookies and Scream. But honestly, I think the reason I like peanut butter M&Ms so much is they're not so sweet. Like, these are really sweet. Like, mm-hmm. A handful of these and you're done. I can eat a whole bag of peanut butter M&Ms. Without thinking it's too sweet.
They are, to me, in my humble opinion, peanut butter M&Ms are superior to Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
By a long shot.
Right?
Yeah. Totally.
Does everybody know that? Is that a commonly held opinion?
If you you like peanut butter M&Ms because there's like a 4-to-1 peanut butter to chocolate ratio,
mm-hmm.
which is what you want. The problem with Reese's Pieces is that there's not enough peanut butter to chocolate.
Yeah, also, agreed. The peanut butter in the peanut M&M is a little softer.
Yeah, so it's squishy.
Yeah, it's squishy.
And I don't know how you guys feel about the caramel M&Ms. Those are my second favorite. But again, those can get really sweet. You know, after a handful, you're like, I don't need any more. But like the peanut butter ones, I could just eat for days.
Mm. See, this is why I like the pretzel ones, because I do like the little...
crunchy.
Kind of salty crunchies.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is what I'm learning, is that more sweet stuff in an M&M is not good, but more savory or salty stuff,
you know, like,
in
like
and around
stuffing.
It is good. Right.
Right. Because like the shell brings the sweetness.
Yeah. Mm. I do. I like that. I like a gravy M&M is great.
Mm-hmm.
What about like a, I don't know, prime rib?
Split pea soup.
Really good.
Savory M&Ms. There's a whole market for those.
No thanks. Listen, don't tempt, because you remember what you know they'll do with those disgusting candy corns.
Oh, the Thanksgiving candy corns. Did we actually have one that tasted like stuffing?
Yep.
Yes.
We
had the whole meal.
Was it turkey and gravy too?
There was a turkey and gravy one. There was a stuffing one. There was a candy, like a cooked carrots. Well, I mean,
oh yeah,
terrible.
You're right. Okay. Thank God we didn't have to eat that this year. But M&M's, Cookies and Scream. Meh. Okay.
Meh.
When we come back, celebrities behaving badly. Colleen, what do we call these yahoos?
We call them D-bags.
We'll share them with you when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1. Is that riff from Thriller? Every time I hear it, it sounds like it. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't it give off Thriller vibes?
I feel a Thriller vibe. But I don't know that it's like a full-on sample. Good question, though, Bradley.
Yeah, we'll find the answer.
We'll find the answer. But right now, what we are going to do here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, in addition to reminding you to pick up your Project Down and Dirty tickets, they're going fast at MyTalk107.1.com. Our reality show on the radio, them tickets are on sale immediatamente, is head over to Celebrities Who Are Behaving Badly Town. What do we call them, Colleen?
We call them D-bags.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
And before we move on, no, that song by The Weeknd does not sample Thriller.
Okay, thank you. I'm just getting Thriller vibes.
You can still feel those Thriller vibes.
It's spooky season, and so it should not shock me that I'm thinking of zombies dancing around. That would be a good TikTok, so somebody do that. Okay, now, Colleen, who's your D-bag?
Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh,
she gets this.
It's puree?
Yeah, sorry about that.
And she's going to have to puree to Jesus on this one.
I'll just say it and then I'll say it. She has admitted that she felt sick to her stomach when she had to discuss hard topics on The View when she was on The View. She co-hosted from 2015 to 2016. And she says of that time, she says, there was only one type of stress that I've ever felt in my life that came from that show. And I have PTSD. What do you think my problem is right now?
Well, probably the words PTSD, assuming she didn't have a clinical diagnosis.
My guess is that she did not have a clinical diagnosis. Listen, I'm making an assumption, but I just in general get very frustrated with the use of actual diagnostic terms to describe things that aren't actually that thing. For example, calling something PTSD when it isn't actually clinical post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Others include when people talk about their need to organize something and they call it OCD. Mm-hmm. If that is an actual clinical diagnosis, and I know I just sound like a real buzzkill, but it's just very true. It drives me bonkers when people do this and they think they're saying one thing, but what they're actually doing is ignoring the reality of a diagnosis like that. And trivializing it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she's my D-bag.
I mean, and I fully agree with you. I was also wondering, because I couldn't tell from that particular article if she was saying she actually had PTSD. Or because I don't think that's probably the case. I think it's more likely what you're saying, she was conflating the thing. And mm-hmm. in that case, if that's what she was trying to do, it's very easy. Like, I mean, you could say it was like, I imagine PTSD, even that. I mean, you can choose whether or not you're comfortable mm-hmm. saying that, but at least you're not claiming something that you don't actually have, which seems far more disingenuous to me. But because, you know, like language changes and it's like the conversation we have around suicide and that terminology, like people still, I catch myself saying things like that I'm just like, oh, I'm not comfortable saying that anymore. But we used to be far less concerned employing words and phrases that are actual harmful or painful things for people.
Right. And it's not, listen, I can hear people being like, oh, you know, like we're all so woke now. For me, it's not about wokeness.
It's respect, that's all.
It's about learning to respect other people who have a different life experience and not trivializing that experience by equating it with something that is not the same.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, like, you don't know if people have struggled with actual PTSD or actual suicide, and so it just leads to less uncomfortable situations that you might not even be aware of. So I'm all in for avoiding, you know, making other people uncomfortable if I can at all, you know, do it. But I think you can also analogize without, you know, worrying about offending people. I just don't think she was being clear in this conversation, which shouldn't surprise us because, I mean, she has been a member of this particular segment on more than one occasion.
So I did something last night that I'm not proud of. Oh. I spent a lot of time I can't get back going through all of her TikTok videos.
Why? What is your problem?
No, I don't.
Do you not have anything better to do?
I do. I couldn't sleep. And so I was like, what does this woman do on TikTok? And like, she's your mom on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know,
that's her lane, man.
It is.
Her lane is,
I don't know,
your mom who, yeah, she's your mom. Yeah.
She's your mom on TikTok.
Yeah, I was going to go into that, but like, I don't have anything particularly against Candy. But she seems to constantly be showing up in headlines for saying things, and then she'll have to like backtrack or
clap back.
Backtrack or clap back. That sounds like a program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A seminar led by Khloe Kardashian, yes, and Kelly Ripa.
Yeah.
Totally.
We're going to tell you how to get attention while shaming others and feeling like you're, you know, a victim with lots of money and power and influence. Okay. Thanks, Candy.
Track back or clap back.
Can
backtrack.
I
track back? Whatever. Bye.
Backtracker.
Who's your D-bag?
My D-bag, thank you, is Sharon Stone. Sharon Stone, also your mom or your aunt, because I, you know, your mom might actually not do this, but your aunt might, or somebody in your family who's of a certain generation might illustrate this kind of behavior. So did you see the story? Sharon Stone comments on Jonah Hill's looks Jonah Hill asks people to stop commenting on Jonah Hill's looks.
Sharon,
honey, that's not how that works. Honey. So literally, but you know this behavior. You know this behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jonah Hill politely asked his followers on Instagram, and you talked about this yesterday, not to comment on his body, good or bad. Like, look, I'm just in a place, I don't feel like it's a good idea, so please do me the favor and let's keep my body out of this, right? Out of the conversation. And so Sharon Stone shows up to the conversation and literally says, can I say you look good? Because you do! Fire emoji!
Girl.
Like, literally, she enters the chat and sticks her foot so far up her mouth that I don't even think she could be aware of what she did.
What is this? Like, does she... So here's... This is my first take on it. Is like, did this woman... Did she misread what he said as some sort of, like, compliment fishing or something?
Well, I think it's that thing where, you know, you will say to people, like, you actually... Because we all look at ourselves in different ways. We all look at compliment... Like, people just are allowed to create their own boundaries and borders around stuff, right? Like, when it comes to talking about their bodies, I guess, right? So, like, some people do that thing, though, where they think, like, you know, but I'm going to compliment you because you... They think that they're... I don't know what they think they're doing, but I've seen this behavior so many times where they're like, but no, seriously. I mean, I know you don't want to talk about your looks, but you look amazing. And you're like, but no, see, the whole point is let's not focus on whether I look amazing, because whatever my outsides look like, that's not a reflection of my insides. And right now, today, I could be feeling like doo-doo. Thanks for asking, but also thanks thinking you're caring, but you're not really caring. Listen to what I'm saying. Right?
God, Sharon.
She's sharing the wrong sentiments.
Right.
Like, you just know, girl. She has like a nephew, a gay nephew on Twitter who's like, girl, hello. Read the room.
So wait, did he reply to her comment or
yes.
anything? Or did it just, okay, what did he say?
No, I'm sorry. She replied to him. He did. I don't think he replied to her. I'm just going to double check, but I was just over here. So,
Sharon, I'm embarrassed. I have secondhand embarrassment for her right now.
I know, because, you know, it's like that person who, you know, I could go on, but there are times when people have said things to you, I guarantee, where they think they're complimenting you and you're like,
oh,
yeah.
How much time do we
have? You're not actually complimenting me.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so now what's happening is I'm having an entire film strip in my head of every single time.
A photo montage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the time they're like, this person looks just like you, and they show you a picture and you're like,
of a troll, and you're like, I do not look like that.
Right. You're like, I don't even know what to say to this. I found your doppelganger. I'm like, is that what you see?
Yeah, like, oh my God, there's a twin at the grocery store, and you go to the grocery store and you're like, I will kill that person now because that person looks like not
great.
Me.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, Sharon Stone.
I love, also, don't I you love just... that blaring flaw about you. It makes you so unique.
But right. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Not to go too great. Off track, but I've had that thing where people think they're giving you a compliment. You're like, but you realize what you're saying is like, before I didn't look that way.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
like you walked around not saying anything about my looks. And right. you're like, oh, you look really good when you do this or that. And you're like, what, did I look like a troll before?
Yeah. They're like, hey, way to get better. Because before yeah. you weren't.
You were ugly.
Thanks. Great. Oh, God. Thanks.
We could do a whole segment on compliments.
Just be better.
That aren't compliments.
Guess what? Guess what we're doing for a talker on Monday.
All right. Fabulous. Yay! I'm all here for it. Okay.
Making notes. Thank you.
Anyway, Sharon Stone, do better, honey. It's fine.
Oh, can I compliment you?
Yeah, like, I know you, or, no, that was his response. I'm trying to get her response.
You must have been talking about everybody else, but I'm Sharon Stone. Can I say something nice?
Oh, my God.
Girl.
Sharon, all right. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But you look amazing. Sharing
that sentiment.
Amazing.
You look amazing.
So amazing.
Also, she's been hot lately. I feel like she has been in tabloids a lot.
Well, and I don't remember why. For her.
Well, she wrote a memoir.
Oh, that's why.
Memoire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to also thank the 368 people who replied to that comment of hers on Jonah Hill's post.
At what point do you just delete it?
Can you imagine her checking her Instagram the next day? Like, oh, crap, what did I do? God, everybody's so sensitive. You tell somebody they look good and, ha. All right, go put some panties on, Sharon. Aww. And when we come back, we got more debate. Well, because the movie.
I got it.
Math.
When we come back, we have more D-bag for you. And this time, it involves royals, Jeff Bezos, and a giant rocket ship that looks like a wiener. We'll do a D-bag double down right here. I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
My Talk 107.1. Thank you, Holly Roberts. I'm Bradley Trainer. That's Colleen Lindstrom. You're listening to the Colleen and Bradley Show. You're on My Talk 107.1. Hey, it's Friday. Friday. Woo! It's kind of raining outside. But right now.
Oh, cute. That was good.
We got some extra D-bag double down.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
This is an actual royal D-bag. So it's not a lord. It's a prince.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. That's like next level.
I think it's rich, pun intended, that Prince William is like bougie shaming Jeff Bezos. Mm-hmm. I'll share with that in a moment. Maybe, dear William, you could spend more time calling up Uncle Nasty and asking him to turn himself in. Thank okay. you. Am okay. I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Okay. I can't tell you you're wrong because you ain't wrong.
So did you see any of these headlines yesterday wherein Prince William was not impressed with billionaires blasting off to space?
No, I did not see that. Or if I did, I put it out of my mind because that's ridiculous.
Well, I'm like, really, Prince William? So he had a few stern words for the wealthy.
Hello. Hi. Have you met yourself?
And he was also carbon footprint shaming, which we'll get to. But in a newly televised interview with the BBC, which aired yesterday, the Duke of Cambridge, so Duke and Duchess D-bag, said that he was, quote, less impressed with certain billionaires. Jeff Bezos.
By the way, did he do this interview from his palace?
Yes.
Out of curiosity.
From his golden palace, you know, sitting atop his royal throne made of... I'm not even going to go there.
The image I have right now is of him on a golden toilet doing an interview with the BBC.
I think it's absolutely ludicrous.
Can you believe these rich people?
Doing all this rich stuff everywhere.
Blasting off into space.
He said he was less impressed with certain billionaires who are dedicating their finances to space exploration rather than combating global climate change. Now, here's his actual words. We need some of the world's greatest brains and minds fixed on trying to repair this planet, not trying to find the next place to go and live. That is really quite crucial to be focusing on this one rather than giving up and heading into space and trying to think of solutions for the future. Okay. So I kind of understand what he's saying. So he's not wrong. Like, global climate change is real. That's a thing people should be fighting. It's not something we usually talk about on the station, but like, I get what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But physician,
I mean, his point is well made. However, it's the mouth that the point came out of that I think we're unsettled by.
Yeah, because all you have to do, I mean, how many times have the royals, and it's not always Prince William, it's, you know, Prince Harry. I mean, it's less important because he's sort of removed himself from the role of being a spokesperson for the royal family. But when they were, you know, a lot of royals get criticism for talking about, you know, lowering, you know, emissions and blah, blah, blah. And then people are like, well, you know, you went to a conference to talk about climate change on a private jet that burned far more fossil fuel than, you know, like the Delta flight you and I can catch from MSP to Heathrow. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not that you're not entitled to say whatever you want and have opinions if you're a rich and wealthy person. But like, I don't know that like, making the conversation about doing more for climate change is best served by personally attacking Jeff Bezos, who, by the way, is also a very privileged guy who might be thinning on top.
Are you talking about his hair?
Yeah, yeah. You know, because they both have thin hair at the top. And Jeff Bezos.
I didn't know exactly what we meant.
That's a metaphor. No, I'm saying, like, you guys, you kind of swim in similar circles. I mean, he's not a royal. Sure. I'm just saying it's a little rich.
A little fresh.
Right. A little rich.
Yeah. Well, he's saying all of this while arranging his very own silver spoons.
Yeah. And then they asked him about going to space, and he goes, I have absolutely no interest in going that high. I am a pilot. But I'm a helicopter pilot, so I stay reasonably close to the ground.
Okay, come on. Stop it.
Wait, he sounds like a lot of fun at parties.
I once went up to 65,000 feet in a plane, and it was truly terrifying. That is high enough for me.
You can keep your pedestrian sweetness missiles to yourself.
Of the criticisms, I just feel like maybe have somebody else speak out against Jeff Bezos's like ego trip to the moon.
Yeah, you got a PR problem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, I mean, it's not like this is an argument that hasn't been made, right? Like, everybody is making, I mean, not everybody, but this argument is easy to stumble across in the media. People talking about Jeff Bezos spending the kind of money he's spent to explore space, or space travel, I should say, because he's just slingshotting himself.
Yeah.
Up there so you can have 3 minutes of weightlessness. I mean, there are easier ways and cheaper ways to do that, but whatever.
And I just, like, I agree with all the criticisms, or I shouldn't say all, but most of the criticisms people lob at Jeff Bezos and people like him who are making this an ego trip. But I also hate that, like, the victim in this case then is, like, people kind of write off all of space science or astrophysicism, whatever we call the actual science.
I don't think it's astrophysicism.
I'm an astrophysicist. But you know what I mean? Like, that's I think the science is actually the victim in this case, because people are just like, why are we going to space if we can't do the things here? It's like, well, we can walk and chew gum, but it doesn't help when you have Jeff Bezos turning it into like a circus.
Which he is.
Yeah.
But it was a circus that I fully watched.
Oh, it was amazing.
I was gripped by. Are you kidding me? By the way, this is a dumb question. Is there a video of William Shatner flipping around in space?
You know, that's a great question. I have not seen any of that video. I would imagine
neither
at some point
Blue Origin, I feel like it's got to be available,
will make that available to us, you'd think. Unless, like, somebody dutied. Because you just know that, like, that is going to create some release experience.
Because your body doesn't know how to keep things well, where how do it belongs.
You, like, if it's weightless,
I don't know.
How do things stay closed?
No, I suppose, think about it, though.
Well, I mean, people are in the International Space Station, and it's not just, like, flying around
everywhere. when you're in the water, you're weightless, and you don't, unless you do, and I don't know about it.
Well, but there's a certain amount of pressure that's keeping everything down. Do you have that pressure in weightlessness? There's a difference, right? Like, the feeling of weightlessness you get on Earth is different than the actual weightlessness. Which is why water is so dangerous up there, because it can just, like, you know, like if you cry, it could get into the equipment.
Well, here's according to the University of Buffalo. How do astronauts go to the bathroom in space?
But they need suction, right?
Yeah, they use thigh straps to sit down on the small toilet and to keep a tight seal between their bottoms and the toilet seat. So they have to be strapped on.
Oh, y'all, I would be real scared and especially suction would keep sucking.
Yeah, especially designed vacuum toilet, says the University of Buffalo.
But think about it. You have to have it sucking as you're going to the bathroom, because otherwise it's going to come back
out. Oh, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the seal and the suction. Like, how do they not lose their
NASA spent $23 million on this toilet.
That's crazy. And still we wipe our buns with, trees. It's so weird to me. Like, NASA has the science. We could do this here on Earth.
You guys, now I'm spending a lot of time thinking about potty in space. There's got to be, I might... Is there a TikTok about this?
Colleen spends 4 hours trying to find NASA TikTok. Well, you do that during the break and let us know what you find, if there's any...
You're welcome.
...video evidence of William Shatner in space doing God knows what. But when we come back, we have a Publationship update. We also have an update on Gwyneth Paltrow. This one, you're going to want to stick around in here, because she... is even more of a hot mess than usual. We'll be right back here on My Talk 107.1.